Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page.
The sermon for March 26th, 2023 is based on John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Problems and Good News.
An introduction to our reading from John. Jesus is moved to sorrow when his friend Lazarus falls ill and dies. Then, in a dramatic scene, he calls his friend out of the tomb and restores him to life. A reading from John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but it was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up and quickly go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from God the Creator, who breathes life into all creation. Amen. One of the ways that they taught us to structure a sermon in seminary was to use the four pages method, which I'm going to share with you today. You write 4 pages of your sermon, and each page has a different question that you are trying to answer. Page 1 is, what is the trouble that exists in the story? Page 2, where do you see that trouble in the world today? Page 3, where is the good news at in this story? And page 4, where do you see that good news in the world today? This method is used to help preachers connect the problems and the good news found in the Bible to our lives today. You could also use this method, if you wanted, in your personal Bible study at home to connect the stories to your life and the world around you. And if you use this 4 pages approach to writing a sermon, and you're using the texts from Ezekiel and or John from today, really, the sermon pretty much writes itself. So, that's what we're going to do today, together. You are all going to help write this sermon here and now in this moment. This is a participatory sermon. So, page 1. What is the trouble that exists in these texts? Shout it out. What's the trouble that you see in these texts? Lack of faith. I heard death. What else? Jesus didn't prevent it. What else? I heard something. Jesus delayed going. Yeah, the Jews couldn't understand why he didn't do anything. Good job. At first glance, the thing that stuck out to me is death. In Ezekiel, God is taking Ezekiel to a place to show him how the Hebrew people feel since their homeland had been destroyed and they were now exiled in a faraway place called Babylon. They feel like those dry bones, and they are literally dying in a land far away from home and the center of their faith, the temple. And in John, we also experience death firsthand in the death of Jesus' good friend Lazarus. But as I looked a little deeper into these texts, I think another layer of problems started to bubble up, and I think some of you caught on to it. After being confronted with death in both of these stories, those who are left alive are wondering, "Where are you, God? Why did you abandon us in our time of need?" Why does God take Ezekiel to that place of dry bones to show him how he will restore the Hebrew people to their life and land once again? Well, we hear all throughout the prophetic scriptures about how the people in the Babylonian exile are crying out to the Lord to save us. Why have you forgotten about us, Lord? They feel as if God has abandoned them in the exile. And in our story from John, Mary and Martha just lay it right out there. As soon as they see Jesus face to face, they say, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Why, God, did you abandon us in our time of need? Well, that brings us to page 2 of the sermon. Where do you see these same themes of trouble at in the world today? Where are we currently experiencing death, either literally or figuratively? Or when have you felt like God has abandoned you in your time of need? War. War in the Ukraine. Tornadoes in Mississippi and around, all around. Yeah. Disease. World of refugees. Addiction. Loss of habitat. It's a lot of loss and death and times of feeling abandoned. I don't think I need to spend too much time on this or add too many more examples to what you've already put out there, because I'm sure that we all have something that is currently close to the surface of our hearts right now. So, let's turn the page and go to page 3. Where is the good news that exists in these stories of Ezekiel and John? God feels the same emotions we do. What other good news did you hear in these stories? Hope in Jesus. New life. Death is not the end. Great job. You guys are well on your way to becoming Lutheran pastors. I can give you some seminary information after the service. I want to specifically look at how the good news addresses the problems that we identified earlier. First, the problem of death. In both our Ezekiel reading and our John reading, God shows us that God does have power over death. We see the bones in Ezekiel, which are symbolic of the remnants of Jerusalem and the Hebrew people's life there in Jerusalem. We see those bones join together, become encased in flesh, and then receive the breath of life from God. God goes further to say that he will open up the graves and bring the people forth. Now, we don't actually get to see that promise come to fruition at the end of our reading today. And I'm sure that the Hebrew people wished that would have happened a little sooner than later. But we do get to see God's power over death. And in the death of Lazarus, Jesus shows us that God's power over death through the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus isn't resurrected to eternal life, but at least he gets to live out his life a little bit longer. But I'm sure that Mary and Martha and probably even Lazarus wish that Jesus would have been there a little bit sooner so that Lazarus would not have even died in the first place. And so that brings me to the second problem we identified. Sometimes we feel like God has abandoned us. In both of these stories, the people wished that God would have acted just a little sooner. They don't understand why God doesn't intervene right when they want God to intervene and in the way they want God to intervene. But there can be good news there. For me, the good news is that even though we don't have control over the when, we know that God does continue to work for life and love and wholeness and goodness. And while God's timing continues to work in ways that we don't understand, God does not abandon the people who are waiting. God is with them in the wilderness, and God weeps with them in their pain. So that brings us to our fourth and final page of the sermon. Where is that good news in our world today? Where does God meet us? Through others who are trying to help. Where else does God meet us? I work on Sunday. I've got all day. Where else does God meet us? Yeah. God comes to us in our tragedies. Absolutely. Where else does God meet us? Church ministries. Yeah, and the person sitting next to you in the pew today. You guys are doing good at this. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex to preach during Holy Week. So I'm expecting some of you to sign up for that. No, the first thing that sticks out to me is how the good news of this text relates to our lives now is that we have an empathetic God who is with us in our times of grief and doubt. Jesus cries several times throughout the New Testament, but in this story of Lazarus, we hear how the grief of the people around him disturbs his spirit. We have a God who enters into our pain and doubt and sits with us, cries with us, and gives us a rock upon which to lean. And when things seem impossible, God shows us that there is always a seed of hope. With Lazarus being dead for 4 days, the Jewish people believed that his soul had left him for good, and there was no way of ever bringing him back. And Jesus shows us that even when we think something may be lost forever or broken beyond repair, that there is hope. That God will work to find a way to bring about wholeness. I'm sure there's something in each of our lives that seems beyond repair, for which we can hold out hope for reconciliation and restoration. And finally, part of the good news that we have is that we know the end of all these stories. See, the people in our stories don't know about the crucifixion and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. For them, God has just given them hope for today or the next day. But for us, next week during Holy Week, we will be reminded that God gives us hope not just for today or for tomorrow, but for all of eternity. It may not be on our timeline or just the way we expect it. But God is working to bring about a perfect, eternal creation, and we are lucky enough to be part of it, now and forever. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have 2 Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.